Our subject is self-discipline in the life of a pastor elder. This is an important subject that will literally affect all of your work. Did you know that one of the qualifications for an elder is self-disciplined or self-controlled? Let me read to you Titus chapter 1, verse 8. An elder must be hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. An elder has to have a sense of self-discipline. He has to fight sin. He has much work to do to be effective in his work. He has to raise a family. So all of these things demand self-discipline. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in one of his most famous books, Spiritual Depression, wrote these words about self-discipline. Please listen to them very carefully. They're very powerful. I defy you to read the life of any saint that has ever adorned the life of the church without seeing at once that the greatest characteristic in the life of that saint was discipline and order. Invariably, it is the universal characteristic of all the outstanding men and women of God. Obviously, it is something that is thoroughly scriptural and absolutely essential. Is it thoroughly scriptural? I would like to take our time now and look right through the Bible and see what it says about the necessity of self-discipline in the life of a believer. Let's start with the Old Testament and the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. It's God's wisdom for us. Proverbs 16:32, and you may want to look at this in your own Bible and mark this in your Bible so you can find it later. Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. In other words, he's thinking of a mighty warrior right now. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Who is strong? Who is mighty? The person who conquers a city? No, he says, it's a person who conquers self. Notice what the text says. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. And he's thinking of a conqueror. He's thinking of warriors conquering a city. Well, if you conquer yourself, if you can master your emotions and your feelings and the temptations that come at you, you are like a mighty warrior. But notice he has a specific illustration in mind when he writes this. Whoever is slow to anger, the passion of anger has to be brought under self-control. William Barclay gives a marvelous example from the life of Samuel Coleridge of what an undisciplined life can do to a very multi-talented poet, critic, and theologian, Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Listen to what Barclay writes. Coleridge is the supreme tragedy of indiscipline. Never did so great a mind produce so little. He left Cambridge to join the army. He left the army because he could not rub down a horse. He returned to Oxford, left without a degree. He began a paper called The Watchman, which lived for 10 numbers and then died. It has been said of him that he lost himself in visions of work to be done that always remained to be done. Coleridge had every poetic gift but one, the gift of sustained and concentrated effort. In his head, in his mind, he said he had all kinds of books complete save for transcription. But the books were never composed outside of Coleridge's mind because he would not face the discipline of sitting down to write them out. No one ever reached any eminence or, having reached it, maintained it without self-discipline. Now, our second proverb passage is Proverbs 25:28. Let me read that to you. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. In the ancient world, walls were placed around a city to defend the city from outside forces or the enemy. So a person without self-discipline has no protection, no way to block the enemy of lust or laziness or overeating or whatever temptation one would face, one's feelings, one's emotions. You're just abused by any of these powers and passions within our body. So self-discipline is like a wall that protects us and keeps us. And then our most important passage is Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. we have here the fruit of the Spirit. And it comes in 9 delicious flavors. Listen, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You know all those. But the last one, I bet you didn't even know this, is self-control. In other words, God, the Holy Spirit, wants to produce in your life self-control, order. Now, the Greek word for self-discipline or self-control is enkrateia. It's a word made up of 2 words, ego, I, and kratos, strength. And so it has the idea of self-control, self-restraint, self-mastery. Larry Richards defines this Greek word this way, enkrateia, as to have power over oneself and thus to be able to hold oneself in. Time magazine gave a great illustration of this. It surveyed very educated, intelligent, talented people who did very little with their lives. And others who had very little education did so well. They wanted to know, what is the secret? They said there were 2 secrets to all these successful people, although they did not have a lot of education, and why very intelligent, well-educated people did very little. They found there are 2 qualities. The first quality of a successful person was the ability to have good interpersonal relationships. But the second quality is they were self-disciplined people. And so if we want to be successful in our pastoral ministry with people and in raising our families and in our business, we have to have self-control. And here's what's encouraging. The Holy Spirit wants to produce this in you. He will work this in you. It's something we can pray about. And then let's look at the New Testament here also, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. And remember, Paul is speaking to Timothy, and Timothy is facing false teachers, facing persecution. And he says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity or cowardice. But notice these 3 wonderful virtues, but of power and of love and of self-control. Philip Towner gives a definition of the word self-control as used here. Self-control depicts the control over one's actions and thoughts that prevent rash behavior and aids a balanced assessment of a situation. Time magazine goes on to say this, and this is very vital to us and relevant to us today. Among young especially, self-discipline has been valued far less than self-expression or self-fulfillment. So, this is a spiritual virtue God wants to develop within us. Then let's look at Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared, teaching us or training us to live self-controlled lives in the present age. Now, the contrast is to worldliness. Worldliness is self-indulgence, self-fulfillment. But the Spirit of God, the grace of God, it trains us in self-control. Undoubtedly, this is something important to God. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ missing the Sermon on the Mountain because he slept in or he forgot? No, our Lord was a disciplined man. Paul was a disciplined man. And God wants to develop that in you as an elder, that you will be a man of self-control. You'll be a model to other people. So many people struggle with this issue. And so our leaders need to be role models of self-control. I remember one time going into a pastor's home, and I came into his home and immediately I saw complete and total disorder. There was no place to sit. Magazines and newspapers. I looked into the kitchen, and there in the kitchen, every pot and pan was out on the counter, and looked into a bedroom. There were clothes on the floor, and the house was a disaster. So finally, I found some little spot to sit, and the pastor sat down, and first thing he said to me is, you know, we're having some problems in the church. Well, of course they were having problems in the church. He was having problems in his own home. Complete disorder. And he brought that disorder right into the church. That brings us to a very wonderful passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 to 27. Now, I want to remind you, the context is Christian liberty and Christian freedom. And Paul wants to fight for our freedom in Christ. But he also wants to warn us that this can be abused very easily. So 1 Corinthians 9:25, the 27 says this, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. Notice Paul loves the analogy or the image of the athlete, and he applies it to the Christian life. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimless. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body, keeping it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul was a man who disciplined his body. We have to discipline our body from laziness and lust and greed and out of control sexuality and self-indulgence and sleeping and eating. So many things that have to be brought under control to live life and not be disqualified in the end. So we need this understanding, this wonderful virtue. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says this to Timothy, train yourself in godliness, and that can be translated, discipline yourself for godliness. So think of yourself as a spiritual athlete in training. You have to concentrate. You need a program of training. You need to work hard. There's pain, there's sacrifice, but there is discipline that the athlete must exercise. And the same thing is true in the Christian life. Listen to this very carefully. The simple fact is there is no deep, long-lasting spiritual growth without a disciplined life of prayer, reading, studying of the Bible, and responsible Christian service. Our personal character is shaped and defined by our lack of self-control or power of self-control. You cannot develop strength of character or godly life without self-discipline. Many of our personal problems and failures are due to a lack of personal self-control. D.G. Keel wrote these words, perverse values, wasted time, dull thinking, flabby bodies, distorted emotions provide ample evidence of our undisciplined lives. So this is a wonderful Christian virtue that is needed today and needed in your ministry and in your Bible reading, your prayer, and in your service to God's people. It is a virtue. For 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 and 8. For this very reason, make every effort, notice, make every effort, human responsibility, to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. For if these qualities or virtues are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is in contrast to the false teachers who are unrestrained in their behavior. And then Paul goes on to say to older women are to teach younger women to do good, to train them, and to teach them self-control. And then to young men, likewise, I urge younger men to be self-control, Titus 2:6. And then our own verse here, Titus 1:7-8. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach, hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, disciplined. Discipline is a Christian virtue. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit God wants to produce in you so you will be a better shepherd and a model to others. It is essential to your ministry. Now, in the section ahead, I want to be painfully practical, and I want to look at ways we can develop through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, discipline into our ministry, into our personal life. We want to apply this now in a very, very practical way.